The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in a hadith which is found in Tirmidhi. It's considered a Hasan hadith by Al-Albani and Sheikh Shu'aib Al-Arnaud. And the hadith reads, خَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, the best of what I and the prophets before me have said is what? What is some of the best words you will ever hear? The most important things to understand, what are they? La ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah. Wahdahu la sharika la, he is alone and he has no partners. Lahul mulk, to him is the entire dominion and kingdom. Walahul hamd, and to him belongs all praise. Wahuwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. Now I think many of us know this statement, but we don't necessarily appreciate, why is it such a powerful statement? What is the weight behind this? Why is it so important to say this and to repeat this? What is being conveyed by this message? And what ideas are being refuted by this message? How is this, supposed to affect me and affect my behavior, my thinking, and my life? Let's take a look at the first statement, which we are all familiar with. La ilaha illallah. That there is absolutely nothing that is worthy of worship, that is worthy of adoration, that is worthy of obsession, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, you could say, is addressing those who believe in rival deities. Of course, you could say that La ilaha illallah summarizes the whole statement, but the rest of it goes into detail as to the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And so, one way you can look at the statement La ilaha illallah is that, look, we believe in one God. We don't believe that there are other rival deities out there that are competing for worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it goes deeper than that. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Why add this extra point? Well, because unfortunately what you find is that there are people who believe in monotheism, whether they be Jewish or Christian or sometimes Muslim as well, who say, look, I don't believe in any rival deities. I don't say that there are other gods competing for worship other than Allah. But I do think that Allah Ta'ala shares His divinity with other creatures that He chooses. There are others that are divine with Him. For example, the Yahud have within their tradition this idea that God's legislation, when once He sent it down to humanity, then it was the job of the rabbis to either add to it or subtract from it or change it as they wish. Why? Because it's no longer yours, God, it's now ours. So now we do with it as we will. So now they become the ones who can write revelation. Now, they wouldn't say we are rival deities, but the idea is what? That they are sharing in this divine attribute. The Christians would say, well, we're monotheists. We don't believe that Jesus is a rival deity. They wouldn't say that. But they would say what? That no, we're monotheists. We believe in one God. But God decided to have a son, and they're all part of the same deity. And unfortunately, there are Muslims who say, no, I don't believe in rival deities, rival gods other than Allah. But I do believe that Allah shares some of His divine attributes with, let's say, a holy person, somebody who is very righteous and then dies. And then Muslims build, and you find this in Muslim countries, unfortunately, way too often, they build a masjid around that person's grave. People go to that grave, they ask him questions, they request things from that dead person, assuming what? That Allah has given this person the ability to be a samir, the all-hearing. They hear everything, no matter if you're whispering, doesn't matter if you speak a different language, they understand and hear everything. And also, they know your situation, they know what you need, they know what you don't need. So they're attributing what? Al-Aleem, Al-Hakim, names of Allah, the all-knowing, the all-wise. They say, oh, he can respond to me. This is Al-Mujib, this is the name of Allah. He is the one who is responsive. And so, in addition to the idea that there are no rival deities with Allah, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, let's be clear. He is alone in this, in all of His divine attributes. He is alone. And He does not share these attributes with anybody. La sharika lah. So we need to cleanse this from the Muslim ummah. And I would even say go so far as to say the entire Abrahamic tradition. We need to go back to what real monotheism means. So this is the concept that Allah Ta'ala explains to the Yahud when Allah says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. That they have taken their monks and their rabbis as lords other than Allah. What does that mean? That means they can legislate along with Allah. Furthermore, what? Allah refers to the Christians and says what? وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. That that the Christians, they say that Ar-Rahman took a son, and Allah specifically used the name of Ar-Rahman. Why? The abundantly merciful, the exceedingly merciful, the incomprehensibly merciful. Why? Because these are people who are saying that he took a son so that he could sacrifice him and punish him and hurt him for the sins of others. Now, anybody who has a child knows you want to be merciful to your son. You would not want to punish your son, especially if he's innocent. You would not want to torture your son, especially if he's innocent. And they're saying, Ar-Rahman, the one who is infinitely more merciful than you and I, he's going to punish his innocent son? وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, he took a walad? Subhanallah, how could you think such a thing? How could you say such a thing? And to the Muslims, what does Allah say? وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. How sad is it that in the ummah, we have people that break this. Allah says that the masajid are for Allah alone. The masajid are for Allah alone. So do not call upon or invoke or make dua to anybody other than Allah. How often, unfortunately, the ummah is suffering and we wonder why. Maybe this is what's poisoning the ummah. How much shirk is taking place where people build these shrines and build these masajid on top of graves, and then they go to that place and they call to people exactly against this ayah. So we say what? La ilaha illallahu. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Where does it go from there? Where does it go from there? Part three. There's a five statements. The third statement is what? Lahul mulk. Who is this addressing? So you might say, I'm a Muslim, I don't believe in rival deities. Okay, the first box, check, you're good. What about the second box? No, I don't say that Allah Ta'ala shares His divine asma wa sifat, His divine names and attributes. He shares them with nobody. They are completely His alone. I would never call upon anybody other than Allah, even with His permission or without His permission. No, Allah does not permit. He does not give His divine attributes to anybody. We don't believe this. MashaAllah, the first two boxes checked. Good. What's next? Lahul mulk. He possesses all of the dominion. All dominion belongs to Him. Another word for mulk can be kingdom. Who possesses kingdom? A king. Malik. That's why you hear the same word. Mulk, malik. It comes from the same root letters. Mim, lam, and kaf. So Allah is malikul mulk. The one who possesses all of the dominion. Now what does a king do? What is the function of a king? Not only is he the rightful owner, but in addition to that, he is the rightful legislator. He is the one who writes laws. He is the one who gives decrees. From on high, the royal king says, this is the law. They have a messenger that comes and gives the royal law, right? This is how kings operate. They are the rightful legislators. Ash-shari', the one who gives the sharia. That's the function. And so this statement, lahul mulk, it should have an impact on us. Which ones from amongst us? Specifically those who what? Who, as American Muslims, we have been influenced by our environment to the point that we separate church and state just like everybody else. Let's be honest, if we're going to be real for a second, there are many Muslims that say, look, I don't believe in rival deities other than Allah, and I don't believe that God shares His divine attributes with anybody else. But my question is this, do you have this attitude that has been seeped into you because of your environment that we separate church and state? In other words, you think that worship is a private matter. Worship is at my house and at the masjid. You keep worship where it belongs. But when it comes to business and politics and the whole secular realm, that belongs to man, and those decisions are best governed by human discretion. In other words, let people deal with the laws of the land. This is no place for religion. Separation of church and state. Unfortunately, many Muslims have this attitude. Yes, I worship at my home. Yes, I worship in the masjid. But once I go to my business, then I have a different set of rules. Once I am dealing with politics, then that's a whole different conversation. Then God doesn't belong in that. You know, they got this from the Christians, and probably the Christians got it from, you know, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. You know, this verse in the Bible. And so this idea of separation of church and state has seeped into the Christian world, and now it's coming into our minds because we're influenced by the people around us. What does Allah Ta'ala tell us about this? First and foremost, we should refute this by saying what? La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulk. All dominion and kingdom belongs to Him. What does this mean? This means exactly what Allah is telling us when He says, "In al-hukmu illa lillah," that the decision, legislation, rulings come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, Allah is al-hakim, the ruler. His law is supreme. يَقُصُّ الْحَقِّ. He's the one who relates the truth. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْفَاصِلِينَ. He is the best of those who decides and distinguishes between right and wrong. Allah Ta'ala teaches us that we as believers are supposed to be saying this statement. What statement? as Allah mentions, أَنْتَ تَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِكَ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. The believers are those who are speaking to Allah and saying, what? Oh Allah, you will judge between your servants. You are the rightful legislator between your servants concerning over that which they used to differ. In other words, when we have differences of opinion, when we can't figure out what's the best thing to do from a political, secular perspective, when it comes to legislation, the believer is the one who says, take it back to Allah and His Messenger. That is the attitude of the believer. And many of us, we are losing this because we're developing this idea, separation of church and state. No, 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 this doesn't belong here. Just do your worship at home and then leave rules alone. Leave my money alone, leave politics alone. That's a different realm. A'udhu billah. La ilaha illallahu. Wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk. This is a reminder. You keep saying this and it's supposed to have an effect. What's the next portion? Walahul hamd. Who does this attribute? Who is this speaking to? How is this going to affect your heart? Walahul hamd. Notice how with each step the believer is becoming better and better. SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful how this statement is put together. You're becoming a stronger, more serious Muslim. And it's getting rid of each of the doubts and shubuhat and problems that we find in the ummah. The first one's the worst, right? Shirk. Then the second one is this, oh yeah, monotheism, but you know, a little bit of, you know, Trinitarian monotheism or whatever the case is. No, no, get rid of that as well. Then what? Then this idea of, oh, separation of church. No, no, get rid of that next. What's the next one? The fourth one is, walahu alhamd. All praises belong to Him. Who does this affect? Who is this speaking to? How is this having an effect on you? Well, think about the Muslim who has jealousy in his heart. The Muslim who is bitter. Why does this person have this? Why is this person rich and I'm not? Why is this person, you know, successful and my business was not successful? I am not pleased with Allah's decree. Why should I get sick or old? Why did I go through a divorce? Why did I have a difficulty in my life? I question, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really praiseworthy? Is He picking on me? Is Allah ta'ala like some tyrant bullying me? These waswas shaytan, they build in the heart. And they destroy your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is repeating, La ilaha illallahu, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku, wa lahul hamd. And to Him is all praise. Implies what? It implies that no, Allah ta'ala is not like some kings who are negligent or abusive or they misuse their dominion. Rather, Allah ta'ala has full domination and dominion, and He rules with wisdom and with goodness. And how do we reconcile this? Well, in good times, you have gratitude. In bad times, you have patience. The believer is always between what? As-sabr wa shukr. So, even if you are going through hard times, then you should remember, these hard times are an expiation for my sins. Kafara. Expiating my sins. Or perhaps it is the case that Allah Ta'ala is molding me into a better person. Having easy times doesn't make you stronger. Sometimes it takes some difficulty and some hardship to really bring the best out of you. Allah Ta'ala is molding me and I embrace Allah Ta'ala's process. I trust the process because I have tawakkul ala Allah. I trust in Allah's hikmah. I know that it's best for me. And Allah Ta'ala brought me this far, so I trust Him for the rest of the way. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. I praise Him in every situation. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. In all circumstances, I praise Allah. This is what you are training. This is what you are training in your mind. You're cleansing your mind of any sort of evil thoughts when you repeat these amazing words. This is reflected in the statement in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us what? وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Perhaps there's something that you hate, but it's actually good for you. And perhaps there's something that you love, but it's actually bad for you. Allah knows, you don't know. Think about the child that can be spoiled rotten. We all know this. Anybody who's a parent knows. You can't just give anything the child wants because it's just going to ruin them. They don't know what's good for them. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala is infinitely more wise than us. And therefore, we should be pleased with His decree. And Allah Ta'ala even clarifies this when Allah says, وَلَوْ بَسَتَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. If Allah had extended excessively provisions for His servants, I just give them whatever they want, then what would happen? They would have committed tyranny throughout the earth. I would ruin them. They'd be spoiled brats. They would become destroyed. So what? Therefore, He sends down His amounts. He sends down His rizq, his provisions in amounts that He wills. This is His decree. He knows exactly what He is doing. And indeed, He is of His servants well acquainted and fully seeing. Allah is khabir, basir. He knows what's going on with you. He knows you fully well. He knows exactly what you can handle and what you can't handle. And what is the final portion? Look at how amazingly this statement is building you up as a believer. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. Final fifth statement, what? Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Now you're reaching the best state that a believer can be in, which is what? This statement, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, means what? And it is He who is exclusively, He exclusively has power over everything. He is in control and dominion over everything exclusive. Why do I say the word exclusively? Because if it was just saying He has power over everything, and maybe somebody else does too, then it would be وَهُوَ قَدِيرٌ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. But because you switch the order, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, that makes it تَخْصِيص. He is the only one that has power over all things. This is the device in Arabic that's being used. This is addressing every single Muslim that still has not reached the level of ihsan. How is this state of ihsan? How do we become a muhsin? As defined by the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Jibreel, I'm sure we're all familiar with it. We talked about it when we covered Arba'in al-Nawwi. It was the second hadith. And what did this hadith talk about? How reaching ihsan is what? That you worship Allah as if you see Him. And because you cannot see Him, you know that He sees you. This beautiful hadith is saying what? That at all times you're in a state of what? Muraqabah. A state where you know that Allah is with you. In other words, all of the creation is pointing you back to the Creator. Everything you see reminds you of Allah Ta'ala. And you know at every single moment, Allah Ta'ala is in full control of everything that is happening around you. We are not like those people who say, oh, God is like a watchmaker. He created a watch and they just left it alone and now it's ticking by itself. We don't believe that. We are those who say what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. Indeed, Allah maintains the heavens and the earth, lest they cease. In other words, at every single instance, all of reality is being maintained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every atom is in the place that it is in because Allah ta'ala is maintaining it. He didn't just create this and then let it just run by itself. No. Allah ta'ala is maintaining everything. The walls that are holding up this building. Everything around you is being maintained and sustained by Al-Qayyum, the ultimate sustainer. This is why we should be reminded every time we look outside, especially now during the fall season, it's almost winter, but still in the fall season, when we see these leaves falling, we remember the beautiful ayah. And we remember, subhanAllah, how many forests are on planet Earth. Think about that. How many forests there are. In every forest, how many trees? In every tree, how many branches? In every branch, how many leaves? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what? وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a single leaf falls gently and breaks off that branch and comes down gently to the ground, except that Allah Ta'ala knows exactly about it. This is incredible. You should look at the world and think about, who is this Lord? Who is this Creator that is sustaining everything at every moment? SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is who? إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبْ وَالنَّوَى. Allah Ta'ala is the one who is aware of every single seed that goes into the ground and the moment that it splits. What does that mean? That means He knows how much rain is going to come down upon it, how much water it needs, every drop that hits it. Allah Ta'ala is the one sustaining and maintaining it and making sure that it grows. And Allah Ta'ala knows how long that plant will live, how much it will grow, who it will feed, how much it will sustain them. Allahu Akbar. This is what you get in your mind every time you finish with La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is what you are thinking about. You are remembering that Allah Ta'ala, as He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Indeed, Allah is He who is continuously providing. And He is firm, He is the firm possessor of strength. As we know, Allah says, Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar, wa ma amruna illa wahidatun kalamhin bilbasar. That Allah says, indeed, all things we created with predestination, all things we created in a specified amount. We have control over everything. And our command is but one, like the blinking of an eye. Allahu Akbar. The control Allah Ta'ala has, He can change everything in an instant. And so, this is the statement that I wish for us to reflect over. And in the second khutbah of Ithnillahi Ta'ala, I want to talk about the reward of repeating this statement over and over again. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallam kathira. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Throughout the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala multiple times refers to shirk as a kind of filth. And tawheed is a kind of purity. Tahara, like it's pure. And this, now, are we talking about a physical filth, like you can wash it off? No, it's not a physical thing. It's the same way your computer can get a virus. It's not actually dirty, but there's something inside of it that is corrupting it. In the same way, this idea of shirk, when shirk enters the mind, it's going to corrupt your thinking and your heart and your mind. It's going to have evil effects. And in that same way, when you purify yourself and you remember these words of Tawheed, you are purifying and cleansing yourself. And so we need to make these adhkar. And so what should we do? Don't worry about what I say. Listen to the words of the Prophet ﷺ. مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ فِي يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. Whoever says this statement, whoever says it 100 times in a day, كَانَتْ لَهُ عَدْلَ عَشْرِ رِقَابٍ, he's going to have the reward of freeing 10 slaves. Imagine giving people freedom. 10 people who, subhanAllah, they were enslaved. They did not have their freedom, and then you free them. And we know that every time a believer freed a slave, nowadays, you know, this is not the same, but at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they would do this regularly. And when they free a slave, the reward was what? The reward was that they freed themselves from the fire. So if you say this, it's like 10 times. 10 times you're freeing yourself, inshallah, from the fire. Amazing. And what else? In addition, look at the mercy of Allah. It just keeps going. وَكُتِبَتْ لَهُ مِئَةُ حَسَنَةٍ. He gets written for his 100 good deeds. وَمُحِيَتْ عَنْهُ مِئَةُ سَيْئَةٍ. And he gets removed from him 100 evil deeds. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ حِرْزًا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَوْمَهُ ذَلِكْ حَتَّى يُمْسِيَ. And he gets protection from shaitan the whole day until the night. What? Look at this. It's like I freed 10 slaves. This is the mercy of Allah. And then in addition to that, I get 100 hasanat, I get removed 100 sayyat, and I get protection from shaitan the whole day. And in addition to that, what else? وَلَمْ يَأْتِ أَحَدٌ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ إِلَّا أَحَدٌ عَمِلَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And nobody, no one brings anything more excellent than this except the one who has done more than this. In other words, the only way you're going to compete with that guy is if you say, you know what, I'm going to say it 101 times, 102 times, 100, 200 times, 300 times. That's the way I can compete. Allahu Akbar. This is the mercy of Allah. Why? Not because we just repeat it without thinking. Because we think about this powerful meaning. So, look, there are different types of people that come to Jummah. Some people come because, you know, I like to meet people, I like to see people, give salams, you know. Some people come because it's my habit, you know, maybe the guy's going to say something funny, maybe the imam's going to say something interesting. There's a bunch of reasons people come. But alhamdulillah, there are some people who say, you know what, this imam is supposed to be good. What's the challenge for this week, ya imam? Tell me, what is the challenge for this week? I'm gonna try to do every week. My objective is to try to implement whatever the lesson is. I hope each and every one of us comes with that intention. That's the best intention, inshallah. So, my challenge this week for each and every single one of us, very simple. Just try. Today, at least. Maybe if it's good today, try tomorrow too. But at least today. 100 times, make this statement. And I calculate it. It takes, even if you say it slowly, it takes 15 minutes. SubhanAllah, most of us, we open up our phone, we watch a 15-minute video, we don't even realize what happened. 15 minutes goes by like nothing. Just take 15 minutes to do what? To say these words and think about each step of the way and how it's building you up as a believer. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Try this. I'm challenging each and every one of you to say this today, inshallah ta'ala. Bring this into your life. And inshallah, if it works and if it's good and if it has that powerful effect, and inshallah, you will feel the effect. As we know, you take steps towards Allah, Allah comes running to you, in a way that befits His majesty. So, and I want to finally say one beautiful quote that I really appreciate. This quote, you know, I don't know who said it, but it's just a nice proverb. It says, if you keep doing what you always did, you'll keep getting what you always got. I'll say that again. If you keep doing what you always did, you'll keep getting what you always got. I hope we're familiar with this quote. What does it mean? If you never break your habit, if you never change and switch up your habits and do something better, how can you expect better results? You keep doing the same old thing, you're going to get the same old results. If you want it from the Quranic perspective, this is the, you know, sort of Western way of saying it. How does Allah Ta'ala tell us? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change a people until they change what's in themselves. Why do I say this? Because if we don't have this habit, if we don't try to actually cleanse ourselves, if we don't try to reformat our minds and bring this tawheed into our hearts, if we don't repeat these words and try to remove all the negative thoughts that we may have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring this concept of tawheed into our hearts, how can we expect our spirituality to grow? How can we expect our iman to change? How can we expect our connection to our Creator to be any different? It's not going to happen until you take some steps. So again, the challenge for today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, just 15 minutes of your day. Remembering the words, remembering the meaning, seeing how beautiful it builds up and increases your tawakkul ala Allah and your love of Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who try to keep this dhikr on our tongues every single day. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are constantly remembering Him. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who recognize that His mulk belongs in the religious realm as well as the secular realm. That Allah Ta'ala has dominion over all things. May Allah Ta'ala see His wisdom in everything that He does and be grateful to Him and praise Him in good circumstances and bad circumstances. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who, when we look at the creation, we are contemplating and thinking about and is reminding us of the Creator, so that we have this concept of muraqabah, that Allah Ta'ala is watching us at all times, that our hearts are connected to Him always. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.